You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hello, dear listener. Welcome back to another episode of the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. This is another of those solo episodes. It's just you and me. And what are we talking about today? Well, as you may or may not know, I'm a hypnotist. One of the tools I use to help people transform their deepest fears into their greatest strengths is hypnosis. And very often I get questions about, what is hypnosis? And there's a lot of questions people have about hypnosis, what it is, what it isn't, what can it do, what can't it do, and so on. And I thought, you know, that would make for an excellent episode. So that's what we're going to do today. Today we are looking at hypnosis. What is hypnosis? We're going to explore what it is. We're going to explore what it isn't. We're going to look at some common myths around hypnosis. That's what we're going to spend the next 20-25 minutes doing. Just to let you know, one thing we will not do is we will not be demonstrating hypnosis in this episode. Simple reason being, I know people sometimes catch this in their cars or whatever, and the last thing I want to do is have somebody in charge of machinery or driving or whatever situation they're in falling into a trance because we do some trance stuff in this. No, that would be dangerous. That's not going to happen. But we will talk about what hypnosis is, what it isn't, how it works, and explore some of the myths around it. So that's what we've got for today. So let's dive in. And I guess the biggest question, biggest concern people tend to have around hypnosis is, this is probably, or definitely propagated by Hollywood. Hollywood is a massive cause of this myth that people have, this fear people have around hypnosis, and that is that they think that hypnosis is mind control. And it's not. Let's get that out front, right from the outset. In a situation where you've got a hypnotist and a we'll call them a patient, being hypnotized, who is the person in control? The person in control is the patient, the person being hypnotized. They are the one in control, not the hypnotist. Hypnosis is not mind control. Hypnotists cannot make you do things against your will. And we'll explore this in a little more depth as we go through this episode. But that's the biggest thing I wanted to get out there up front. Hypnosis is not mind control. There is control. Control is in the hands of the person being hypnotized. So what is hypnosis? And we'll explore why that is the case as we go through this episode. So stick with us if you're wondering, well, how on earth does that work? Stick with us, and it all will become clear, as they say. So what is hypnosis? Well, hypnosis is it's kind of best described as an intense state of relaxation, a single-minded focus on a single idea. Indeed, back in the early days of hypnosis, at one point, it wasn't called hypnosis, it was actually called mono-ideaism, which is a bit of a mouthful and probably why it didn't catch on, but it's perhaps more accurate than the term hypnosis, which comes from the Greek word for sleep, and people think hypnosis is sleep. Again, it's not. Sleep and trance are two very different things. So it used to be called, at one point, it was called mono-ideaism, which is, as I said, a heck of a mouthful. Probably why the term didn't really catch on, but it is more accurate. It's when you're focusing on a single idea. And hypnosis is all about guiding people into this state of trance, this trance state, where you are single-minded focus on a single idea, a single concept. And it's a perfectly natural state. It's a state which all of us go through many times in a day. At the very least, we pass through the trance state as we go from being asleep to being awake, and go from being awake to being asleep. We pass through this kind of relaxed trance state. Now remember, trance is not the same as sleep, but as you go to sleep, you pass through this kind of trance-like state as you go into sleep. So we're all capable of trance. We all pass through it at least twice a day. We'll often encounter it many, many other situations. Here's a couple of examples for you. Have you ever been reading a book? You've been sat there reading a book, and you are so engrossed in the book that you forget where you are. Somebody walks into the room, says hello. You kind of jump out of your skin. Oh, what? Oh, you scared the living daylights out of me there. Because you were so engrossed in the book, you completely forgot you were in the room. Yeah? That is a state of trance. That is trance. Similar example is if you ever go to the cinema, go to the movies, you're watching a film, you're really captivated by the film, you completely forget you're there. Don't one of your mates taps you on the shoulders, you offer you some popcorn or whatever, and work. Oh, jeez. Trance. Sometimes people will get kind of go into a trance-like state on, particularly on long journey, driving on long motorway journeys or long interstate journeys. You get in the car at the start, you drive along, you reach your destination, and you realise there's a whole part where you're not actually aware of remembering even driving that bit. It's because you were kind of almost in a trance. You were in a trance-like state. Now, if anything happens, you'll snap out of it instantaneously, and you'll react. But you are kind of in a driving trance state. Trance is a very, very natural state. All of us go into it. And what a hypnotist does is simply guides the person into that state of trance. Now, why do we do that? Why would we guide someone into a state of trance? We could spend ages on this particular topic, but basically you can kind of think of the mind as you've got your unconscious mind and you've got the conscious mind. The conscious mind is, and we've dealt with this in previous episodes, we'll cover this again in future episodes. It's a fundamental part of this whole thing. But basically the conscious mind, that's the bit you're aware with, the bit you think with, that's the bit that's you, for want of a better word, the bit you're consciously aware of things, you're thinking of things. That's the conscious mind. Underneath that, you've got the unconscious mind, which controls everything that we do. And it controls all of our reactions as well. And it helps to influence the decisions that we make. Now, in between the conscious and the unconscious mind, we've got a thing called the critical faculty, which kind of sets in from about the age of, round about the age of seven. I mean, it's not like you wake up on your seventh birthday and bam, oh, I've got a critical faculty installed. But it's round about that sort of age that it develops. And this is the bit which filters out stuff that doesn't meet our beliefs and our perception of the world. Which is why you could tell a three-year-old about the Tooth Fairy, about Father Christmas, about the Easter Bunny. You could tell a two or three-year-old about all of these things. They will absolutely believe it. But if you take someone who's never heard of those and tell them at the age of 20, hey, well, every Christmas Eve, this big fat guy in a red suit with a big beard comes down everybody's chimney and gives them presents. Of course they're not going to believe it because it just doesn't fit in with their experience of the world. The critical faculty will reject it. And that's a very important point. When we try to change things about ourselves, change the way we act to develop ourselves, our critical faculty will not allow things through if they don't match with our kind of perceived beliefs around the world, about the world. Which is why it's very, very difficult for us to change things about ourselves. For example, to lose weight, for example, or to get rid of a fear, or to increase our confidence. Because any time we try and change some of that, our critical faculty kicks and goes, no, that's not who we are. No, that's not the reality. No, that's not what we do. And no matter how many times we tell ourselves these new things, they don't go in. That's why affirmations are rubbish. They don't work. Affirmations on their own, useless. because we're slamming the unconscious with this new thing. But the critical faculty just does not let it get through. So it doesn't make any difference. And the reason we need to make change at the unconscious level is the unconscious level is where all true change takes place. So, how do we help the unconscious to change its mind, as it were? Suspend the critical faculty. How do we suspend the critical faculty? Well, very interestingly, when we are in a state of trance, the critical faculty is suspended. So, if we want to help someone's unconscious mind change its beliefs, its perceptions, change its way of doing things, guide the person into trance and bypasses the critical faculty, which then means we can help them to make the changes that they want to make. And that's the basis behind hypnosis. There are other ways of bypassing the critical faculty. Other modalities do it in different ways. NLP, which is one we'll look at in a future episode, does it in a different way, which is even faster. But it's the same end result. So that's why we use hypnosis. It's to guide a person into a state of trance, to bypass the critical faculty, so we can make these changes deep at the unconscious level. Now, I mentioned that hypnosis is not a state of control. The hypnotist is not in charge. The hypnotist doesn't control the person in trance. That is very, very true, because here's the best way to think of what the hypnotist is. Think of the hypnotist as your sat-nav. You program in the destination, you get into your car, program in the destination, you have to follow the directions the sat-nav gives you. If you just program in the destination, sit there, right, come on then, why aren't we moving, why haven't we got there? Obviously you're not going to get anywhere because you have to do the work. Same with hypnosis. The hypnotist will guide you into trance, but you have to do the work. You have to do what the hypnotist suggests. With the sat-nav, if the sat-nav says, take the next turning on the left, and you go, ha-ha, screw you, I'm going to turn right. Yeah, that proves that I'm in charge. Yay! Well done. You could indeed turn right. You're not going to get to your destination, though. It's the same with hypnosis. If the hypnotist suggests that you relax and suggests that you close your eyes and suggests these things, and you resist them and go, no, I'm not going to do that, you absolutely can. And you won't go into trance and you won't get the results. And that's the key thing. You are the one in control at all times. The hypnotist cannot make you relax. No hypnotist can make you go into trance. You have to follow the suggestions, follow the guidance. The hypnotist, like the sat-nav, will give you the directions, but you have to do the work. And that's why hypnosis is not mind control. The hypnotist isn't making you do anything. The hypnotist is offering you the path to enable you to do that. Now, another common misconception is, okay, once you're in trance, then you're under the control of the hypnotist, right? Again, no. Because when you're in trance, the critical faculty is bypassed, your conscious is kind of suspended. The hypnotist is speaking directly with your unconscious. Now, your unconscious is actually the most moral part of you. Your unconscious is the bit where all the rules that you have, all of your values, all of your beliefs really take effect. So, if a hypnotist suggests you do something that's against your morals, against your principles, something that you really do not want to do, all that will happen is you won't do it. Either you'll just sit there unresponsive, or you'll pop out of trance. A hypnotist cannot make you do anything you do not want to do. Yeah, well, that's all very well, Keith, but what about when you see all these people, they go up on stage with a stage hypnotist, and the hypnotist makes them do very, very silly and embarrassing things. He makes them do that because they wouldn't do that normally. That's the usual response to that. But see, here's the thing. When you go to a hypnosis stage show, and yes, stage hypnosis, clinical hypnosis are exactly the same thing. You're using exactly the same tools, just with a different intended outcome. In clinical hypnosis, the intended outcome is to help them change their mind to overcome problems. In stage hypnosis, the intention is to enable them to do these outrageous things for entertainment, for the entertainment of everyone else, and crucially, for the entertainment of the person who is being hypnotized. And when you go to a hypnosis stage show, everyone knows that's what's going to happen. They know. That is the expectation. When you go on stage, when you volunteer and go on stage, you know the hypnotist is going to get you to do silly things. If you didn't want to do them, you're not going to go up. The fact that people volunteer and go up is precisely because they want to do that. Now, yes, they wouldn't do those things in their normal waking state, in their normal life. Excuse me. But they are more than happy to take part in the general silliness for the show, for the experience, for the entertainment. They want to do it. There will be times when a hypnotist, stage hypnotist, will make suggestions to someone and the person won't do it. And that is just part of being a stage hypnotist. You have to take all of that into account. And here's an interesting thing. If you watch a stage hypnotist, you'll notice they don't just pull people at random from the audience. The whole time they will be watching to see who are the people who are responsive, who are the people who are more suggestive, who are the people who are more likely to take part to fully immerse themselves into it and to be good sports and good subjects. They will whittle them down until they have a few people who are really responsive, really good subjects, really good at following the guidance, and who are up for it, who are game for a laugh, who are good sports and prepared to do this. So even stage hypnotists do not control people. And if a stage hypnotist suggests something that's against that person's morals, they will not do it. Simple as that. So no hypnotist can control you. Excuse me. No hypnotist can control you. You are always the one who is in control. So how does hypnosis work then? Well, what happens is the hypnotist guides you into a trance so that we bypass the critical faculty so we can speak directly with your unconscious. Now, your unconscious, you can kind of think of your unconscious as like a 7-year-old sibling who loves you dearly, wants to do everything it can to help you. But it's only about 7 years old, so it kind of hasn't got everything necessarily figured out. It has to follow its set of rules, which are the rules that you learn and build up over time. You don't consciously learn these things. You unconsciously learn them. And the majority of these things you've learned before the age of 7. And you learn them doing the best you can with the resources you have at the time. And it kind of writes its own rule book based on that. So you enter a situation, looks up the list of rules. Ah, this is how we behave in this situation. But the thing is, some of those things that you learn when you're younger, and we learn them through experience and through observing others and all of these things. Some of those lessons that we learn aren't actually the best for us. They're not actually the best way to do these things. They were the best that we could learn at the time with what we had. But there are better ways. And with hypnosis, what we're doing is guiding the person into trance, bypassing the critical faculty, so that we can speak directly with the unconscious and actually help it to rewrite the rule book, change the way in which it behaves. Basically, presenting your unconscious with additional options of which it was not previously aware. And that's it. It's presenting options. So it now has more choice of ways in which to behave. And one of the things your unconscious does, in fact, the prime function of the unconscious, is to keep you alive, keep you safe. Everything else is derived from that. And it's always going to be looking to do what's best for you. But when you give more options, it now has more ways of choosing, more outcomes it can choose, more ways of behaving. And it can then choose ones which it knows are better for you. Which is why, for example, stopping smoking is a great use for hypnosis. Because it gives the unconscious mind the ability to see different ways to get the other benefits that you're getting from smoking, but without having all of the harmful effects. So having gone from not seeing any other way to seeing other options that you can do, your unconscious gets those and it will take those other options, which is why you stop smoking, for example. And the same when I help people with fears, it's all about giving them different ways of behaving or changing the lessons that we got from that particular event, the event that taught us to be scared, changing what we get from that, re-examining it with the benefit of hindsight and putting it in context and realizing, you know what? Spiders aren't actually that scary at all. They're not going to harm us. Now I get it at the unconscious level. I can get rid of all the emotion around it. I can just live with it. That's kind of what we're doing with hypnosis, is we're helping your unconscious mind to change its way of behaving, rewriting the neurology, rewriting the rule book. It's kind of like upgrading the software on your computer. Same sort of deal. That's what hypnosis is. So, to kind of a quick recap here, the biggest myths about hypnosis are that it's mind control, which, as we've seen, is absolutely not the case. You are in control, not the hypnotist. The hypnotist is like your sat-nav. You program in the direction. You tell it where you want to go. It gives you the directions. You still have to follow them. If you do nothing, you won't get there. If it suggests you take a direction you're not comfortable with, your sat-nav says, take the next turning on the left, and you realize, well, I can't do that because A, it's a one-way street pointing the wrong way, and B, the bridge there is broken. You know what? I'm not going to take that turning. And you carry on. And so it is with hypnosis. When the hypnotist, if the hypnotist suggests you do something that you just really do not want to do, you won't do it. You are in control. Now, there's one other myth about hypnosis, and that is that only weak-willed people can be hypnotized. That's a really common one. Another big question is, can anybody be hypnotized? And here's the reality. Anybody who's capable of imagining and capable of following directions can be hypnotized. If you don't want to be hypnotized, you won't be. But if you want to be hypnotized and you're capable of following the directions the hypnotist gives you, you absolutely can be hypnotized if you want to be. And it's not that people who are good at being hypnotized are weak-willed or lacking intelligence. It kind of tends to be the opposite, actually, because a lot of hypnosis is based around imagination, imagining situations, creating things in your head. And you've got to be pretty good at doing that, right? The more intelligent you are, the better you are at creating situations and imagining things, the easier you will find it to go into trance. So no, trance hypnosis isn't something that's done to the weak-willed and strong-willed people are immune. No, anybody can be hypnotized if you want to. If you don't want to be hypnotized, you won't be hypnotized. If you're prepared to be hypnotized, you absolutely can. Anybody can. And I mean absolutely anybody who is able to respond to the outside world, to follow directions, any of us can be hypnotized if we want to be. Now, some people do find it easier to go into trance than others, and certainly the more often you're hypnotized, the easier you find it is to go into trance. But absolutely anybody who wants to be hypnotized can be hypnotized. And that kind of brings us to an end for this episode. That's kind of what I wanted to touch on, just to cover the main myths. Myth one: hypnosis is mind control. Is not. The person being hypnotized is the one who's in control. No hypnotist can make you do anything you don't want to do. You can't be hypnotized against your will. And once you're hypnotized, you can't be made to do anything against your will. Hypnosis isn't some unnatural state. It's purely trance. states that we enter many times every day. Oh, one other important thing. People sometimes say, oh, what happens if I get stuck in trance? What happens if the hypnotist forgets to bring me out? Or if the hypnotist were to have a heart attack whilst I was in trance? Would I be stuck there forever? And the answer again is no. You will not be stuck in trance. Sooner or later, you will naturally come back out of trance again. See, here's the thing. The trance state, Buddhist monks, there are Buddhist monks who devote their entire lives to attaining that state and trying to remain in that state for as long as they can. They can't get stuck in that state. And if they can't do it, you're certainly not going to do it. The worst that will happen is you might drift off to sleep. But either way, you will then wake up and you will become fully aware again, sooner or later. Either your mind will go, hang on, hypnotist has been very quiet for a while, what's going on? And zoop, you'll pop back up to full consciousness. Or your mind will just relax and after a while go, right, go on then, let's wake up. So you can't be stuck in trance. You can't be forced into trance against your will. You can't be forced to do anything against your will when you're in trance. And yes, anybody can be hypnotized if they wish to be. That's the main things I wanted to cover about trance. That's about hypnosis. That's it for this episode. Did you find it interesting? Did you find it useful? Did I answer your question? If you've got any other questions, please pop a comment below. Remember to like and subscribe. Share us with your friends. Pop a comment below. Let me know if you've got any other questions. More than happy to revisit this topic in a future episode. And until we meet again, take care. Look after yourself and remember that change is always possible. And when you change your mind, you change your life. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.